G'day Trendsetters, welcome to episode 734 of the Trainsmooth podcast. My name is Tim Meek, and if you have a question for the show, jump on through to the website trainsmooth.com or send me through an email, tim@trainsmooth.com. Now, I feel like a broken record here. I haven't got much to talk about, but what I will quickly say, just entered my little head, one thing I've been learning, I'm trying to learn more about, there's a few things, but I'm trying to find the linkage, the pattern, the connection between them. And it's one thing about, you know, from a coaching point of view, from an athlete's point of view, we get told all these different systems. We get told all, you know, these different methods, why they work, how they work, kind of. But when you really start diving deep and start asking serious questions on, well, why does it do that? How does it do that? Why would it affect this? There's not a lot of clear answers there. And I get it. Well, everyone's different. We all remote, you know, we all handle things differently. We want good answers. We want, you know, I'm after more clear information. But I've been researching why things in sports performance, for instance, changes. And I'll give a quick example here. In the last few weeks, I've seen a rise in my performance on the bike and on the run, and I'm looking at all the information. Nothing's really changed except for my hemoglobin levels. That has increased, and that's one thing I do check. I got a test of hemoglobin. I test it generally once a week, but lately, because I'm wildly interested in it, I'm testing it a hell of a lot more to see the changes. That's the only thing that's stuck out to me, and I'm also trying to understand a deeper level of tapering. Instead of, you know, well, we've got to rock up to, you know, we do taper this way, or, you know, to get the best out of the taper. Well, why? What's it doing to the actual muscle fibers? And trying to work out, you got your type 1 muscle fibers, you got your type 2A, and you got your type 2X muscle fibers, and they all do different things. And what one recovers greater, and then what affects the recovery of each one greater, and which one of those within the recovery gives the bigger bang for the buck. So if I've got an athlete going into a race that really isn't that, you know, who gives a crap about, what is there stuff I can do, you know, give them a couple of days easy into it, but why do I need to give them 3 days of easy training to make them perform well on a who gives a crap race? Or can I leave it to the last minute? You know, type 1 muscle fibers, they generally recover quicker than the type 2A muscle fibers. Now, type 2A muscle fibers kind of works in the same format between type 1 muscle fibers and type 2X, somewhere in between. But us being endurance athletes, type 2A generally gives us the biggest bang for our buck on races, so we try to recover that. And so I'm trying to learn on a deeper level why and how it affects athletes, so I can have a greater understanding, and why all of a sudden for myself has my own running and cycling performance taking a pretty sharp increase, that nothing's really changed. I'm plucking away at around that 18 hours of training volume a week. The intensity distribution hasn't really changed. The stress life hasn't changed. HRVs, you know, there's that baseline there, resting heart rate. You go right through the whole list of different things. The only things change is my hemoglobin level. And so I asked a few questions to a few different people that I respect greatly, and I get some information. I type, you know, spend hours on Google to try and work out, is the performance that I'm seeing in training the result of an increase in hemoglobin, or is the hemoglobin a result of the extra increase in performance that I've seen? And my understanding is the extra performance gains I've been seeing in my training volume, and also my recovery rate is at an all-time high at the moment. Just if I can make this about myself and brag about myself here for a minute. I mentioned a couple of episodes ago how I, since May, I've marked down, I rank every single muscle group on a fatigue level every single day on every single muscle group. So the calves, are they okay? My hamstrings, oh, they're feeling light today. My quads, how are they? Oh, they're a moderate today. And so on everything. And then if something says medium or very 2 days in a row, that's a red flag, for instance. And if there's no trend coming down that the recovery, the fatigue isn't dropping in that particular muscle group day after day, well, then that's a red flag. But over the last month, thereabouts, I've been noticing a huge drop in fatigue, like significant drop in muscle groups. Everything seems to be recovering a lot faster. And so my understanding is one of the major results is the increase in hemoglobin might be the result of the extra performance I'm seeing in my training, not in swimming, but in cycling and also in running. And so due to, you know, the ability to carry more oxygen around, my understanding of that is probably the case. And so I think that's also part and parcel is why something would normally take me, you know, if my quads were medium fatigue one day, in theory they should be moderate the next, light the day after. But it's dropping straight down to okay the day after, or light the next day, and then okay, it's the recovery rate is significantly faster right across the board. And it's only been in the last 3-4 weeks that I've seen these huge trends change all of a sudden. Which, being on that side of the reaction, I've got to say it's pretty bloody great. It's never happened like this. This sharp change in performance has never really changed. But that's, you know, I did veer off and made this about me. But I'm very fascinating, and I'm very fascinated with muscle fibers, why they do what they do. I'm just bloody fascinated, and I can't. To say I spend hours a week learning, over the last few weeks in particular, learning about this, it would be an understatement. I'd be spending a couple of hours a day on this, just researching more and learning more. Oh, he's got an article here, I'll read this. And then there's a sports scientist on that I read his blog, and so I thought, bugger it, I'm going to send him an email. And then the guy that mentors me, I don't know if he knows he mentors me, but he does. He's been very influential to me, a sports scientist. I send him emails, and he's always, so at this stage, he always seems very happy to help me. And it's, you know, those sort of questions, well, I love him. Yeah, Alan Pittman always mentors me as well, but I didn't ask him, but I probably should send him an email, see what his input is too, because it's just fascinating. But anyway, I've harassed about 5-6 people, and read hours and hours and hours and hours of articles and studies. But anyway, today's question comes from Brendan, who I coach, and this is Brendan's last question. So I could do with you guys sending in some training, racing, nutrition questions. Make them super specific for yourself. Be super selfish, like I've been super selfish on this episode, and talk about me. Send them on through to tim@trainsmooth.com. Excuse me. He writes, creatine, have you used it? Is there any benefits from it? A lot of research I have read is very positive, but trying to see on water retention from it, and how this extra weight will impact the rest of my training, especially for the run. So yeah, it's a very researched supplement, creatine. I do have a jar of creatine in my a bottle of creatine in my cupboard, but I'm assuming it's well and truly out of date. I haven't used it in a long time, and but yeah. So creatine's mostly used in the bodybuilding world. I don't know what the protocols are now, because I haven't done any reading in this for a long time for bodybuilders. But it used to be take creatine before training, lift to your little heart's content, and then smash some protein and good stuff straight after it. Creatines can be a very good aid in recovery. I remember reading something recently about that. But you are right. You will put weight on. It's mostly used to, especially for explosive power. But there are some good recovery components to it. There are... what's the word I'm thinking of here? So for generally, if you're going to be taking creatine, you want to upload it for that first week. You increase the amount. I do have somewhere in my notes here. I don't know if I have it in my OneNote, the protocol on how to use creatine. Let me just... This is going to be great. Podkey, I'll type it in as I'm talking. Creatine. No, I haven't got it in my OneNote. I did take notes on it, so it must be in an old book somewhere. So generally, by memory, you double the amount every single day. You be expected to put on 2 to 3 kilos. In that time, and then you buy the Nero show. They were talking about it very recently too, where he tried it. One of them tried it. He was doing some amazing stuff on the bike. He put a crap load of weight on. But then it all kind of went away when he went off it, or by memory, something like that. But going off the extra weight, will it impact your running? Potentially, but by how much? If we're only talking about in training, you'd probably come off it a couple of weeks out of 3 weeks out from an event. It's worth experimenting with to see what happens from it. If you can get your head mentally around being an extra 2-3 kilos heavier, a lot of us in the endurance little world, where light must be good. So let's give, if the theory is, if light's good, then skinny must be better and anorexic must be great. So a lot of us still have that mindset, and even though it's not a correct mindset, we still have that mindset of being, when you know that saying, when your loved ones tell you you look like shit, you're at race weight. And if they say, oh, you look good, you need to go on a diet. So if you can get your head around that 2 to 3 kilos being heavier, it might be worth having a little play around with to see what comes of it. But yeah, I don't think a lot of people in the endurance world are really taking it because they're afraid of that water retention, I would assume. But I did take it years ago for a bit of an experiment. I didn't see any real change, and I thought the extra weight I put on was the food I was actually eating, because I wasn't eating the best, which may have influenced the performance gains as well. But anyway, I hope that half helps. I don't think it would. I don't think I really answered your question. But if you have a question you don't want answered properly, send them on through to tim@trainsmith.com. Until next episode, hooroo.